Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Monday. It's March 18th. Great to be with you on a Monday as we are moving closer to Holy Week. Can you believe it? Lent is winding down. Hope it's going well for you. We have a great lineup for you today in our show. Tomorrow is a feast of St. Joseph, right? March 19th. So we're going to do like a little preview of that because we have a beautiful new book that is hot off the presses, as they say, from our friends at Sophia Institute Press. And the book is entitled Joseph's Workshop. And Julia Wade is one of the authors, along with Matthew Bartula, and she will be joining us. And that happens right after the break, and we'll talk all about the book and the beautiful illustrations and what it means for you and the importance of sharing books with your children, not only giving them really great books like this one to read, but also the act of reading to your children and how important that is, or having your children read to you, which is a really fun thing to do. I have my grandnieces, Liana and Francesca, who love to read stories to me and Deacon Dom, and they really seem to enjoy it, and it helps them in terms of their reading comprehension and their pronunciation and their pacing and all that good stuff. So it'll be a fun conversation, I am sure, with Julia Wade, and that comes up right after the break. And then we are going to check in with the amazing Father Tad Poholcek. I'm sure you're familiar with him. Actually, Father Tad is first. There goes my left hand in this, going backwards again. But Father Tad's going to be first with us this morning, responding to a couple of major stories that are out there that we've been discussing actually quite a bit here on not only this program, but on EW Channel, all of our news outlets. So the whole situation with this transgender agenda. Last week, if you recall, we did discuss the situation in England where children are not going to be able to get puberty blockers and decision there by the National Health Service. So Father Tad is going to be giving us some great information regarding church teaching and also the problems associated with this physically, obviously spiritually too, but the common sense and the teaching in the church really just stands out to me so clearly and beautifully when you look at these kinds of stories. And thanks be to God, we have the teachers of the church that have been handed down for centuries. And then we're going to talk with Julia, and then we'll wrap up with our scripture verse of the week. So again, our lineup, and pardon me for the left-handedness, I tend to go backwards because I'm left-handed, if that makes any sense. So Father Tad is coming up right after the break, after the news. He is a senior ethicist with the National Catholic Bioethics Center. Then we will have the lovely Julia with us, Julia Wade, on her book, Joseph's Workshop. And then, as we mentioned, we have Gail Buckley Barringer, and our Bible verse of the week. So it's a busy Monday morning on this, the feast of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, who happens to be a doctor of the church. Pray for us. Okay, do we need the weather? Let's take a look, shall we? Well, the National Weather Service says we have winter weather across the Great Lakes and the Southern Rockies and scattered showers and storms in the southern part of the U.S. of A. Moderate to heavy mountain snow continuing to impact the Southern Rockies and Four Corners region today. Meanwhile, a strong system moving across southern Canada will trigger lake effect snow. We're getting a lot of that in Michigan, by the way, and we're down to normal March temperatures in the 30s and the 40s, so it's not really a surprise. It's something we normally get, but we had warmth there for a while, which was really nice. Anyway, I digress. Canadian weather triggering lake effect snow downwind of the Great Lakes through early next week. And in the south, scattered showers and thunderstorms will linger across the western central Gulf Coast through tonight. So there are going to be some problematic areas, but again, I think the Rockies and the folks in Colorado are actually just still digging out. They just got clobbered last week. It was really rough for them weather-wise. Right now, it's 4 minutes past the hour. You are listening to Catholic Connection. Don't forget, it's a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. We have a ton of great resources. Check out our links, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. And before we hit the news on a Monday morning, I did want to remind you that we have quality programming faithful to the teachings of the church, and it's an outlet that you can trust. You know, Doug Keck and I talk about this every Friday, all the great things that we have to offer you, especially as we're coming closer to Holy Week and the end of Lent. Whether it's films, documentaries, news coverage, lively discussion shows, or children's programs, we highlight the truth, and that is the eternal word, hence the name of the network, EWTN. For a complete schedule of our programming, visit EWTN.com and simply click on the TV button. 5 minutes past the hour. We're so happy you tuned in on a Monday morning, March 18, 2024. It's time to check the news on a Monday. So let's get started. Pope Francis saying yesterday that God's glory and our true happiness are not found in success, fame, or popularity, but in loving and forgiving others. In his Angelus address on March 17th, as Catholic News Agency explains, the Holy Father asking, how is it possible that God's glory is manifested in the humiliation of the cross? He said, one would think it happened in the resurrection, not on the cross, which is a defeat of failure. Instead, today, talking about his passion, Jesus says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. What does he mean? The Pope adding that for God, glory is to love to the point of giving one's life. Glorification for him means giving himself, making himself accessible, offering his love. And this reached its culmination, the Pope said, on the cross where Jesus outspread God's love to the maximum, fully revealing the face of mercy, giving us life, and forgiving his executioners. Around 3,000 people from the Bambino Gesù Children's Hospital meeting with the Holy Father over the weekend to mark the 100th anniversary of the internationally renowned hospital being donated to the Vatican by the Salviati family. As Lisa Zangrini tells us from the Vatican, among them some 200 children and their parents, including children from countries at war such as Ukraine and Gaza, who are receiving the medical treatment they were unable to get in their home countries.
In his address, which was read out by Monsignor Filippo Ciampanelli, Pope Francis recalled that gift has underpinned the Bambin Gesù's mission since its foundation by the Salviati family, who donated the children's hospital to the Holy See in 1924. That generosity continues still today with the many benefactors who sponsor the hospital. In all of this, the Pope remarked, gift is an indispensable element of your being and action. A second feature he highlighted was medical care, which is constantly improved by the hospital's biomedical research. Pope Francis encouraged its scientific teams to carry out this research with special attention towards the most fragile, but also to share their knowledge with other doctors, especially where there is the greatest need, for example, in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. He also praised the generous support given by the Bambin Gesù to its young patients' families. This is a qualifying element which should never be overlooked, he said. Rather, we sacrifice something else, but not kindness and tenderness. The third aspect highlighted by Pope Francis was community. The hospital's mission, he noted, is carried out by several people in a different way. For some, it involves lifelong dedication, for others, offering their time as volunteers, for others still, donating blood, milk, and even organs, cells, or tissues. What emerges, he said, is a doing together where the different gifts contribute to the good of your young patients. Concluding, Pope Francis warmly thanked the Bambin Gesù staff and encouraged them to go forward in their precious work. I am Lisa Zangarini.
The Israeli Prime Minister is speaking out against Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's criticism of the Israeli government. Speaking on CNN's State of the Union yesterday, Prime Minister Netanyahu saying the majority of Israelis support the country's approach to the war against Hamas.
If Senator Schumer opposes these policies, he's not opposing me, he's opposing the people of Israel.
And the Prime Minister referenced a tragedy in U.S. history to criticize Chuck Schumer's call for new elections in Israel.
After 9/11, you're in the midst of fighting the war against Al-Qaeda, and an Israeli would say, you know, what we need now is either new elections in the U.S., or if your system doesn't allow, then President Bush should resign.
Netanyahu adding that it's totally inappropriate for Schumer to call for a replacement of Israeli leadership. Schumer last week called Netanyahu an obstacle to peace, but Netanyahu insisting his government is doing everything it can to get aid into Gaza, and he blames Hamas for the aid not reaching civilians and children. Scott Carr tells us five states holding their presidential primaries tomorrow.
Candidates Donald Trump and President Joe Biden both already have enough delegates to clinch their party's respective nominations, but will be looking to increase their numbers of delegates in Kansas, Arizona, and Florida. Ohio and Illinois will also be holding their state and congressional primaries. Reports say President Biden may also be competing with some uncommitted voters who may cast protest votes against U.S. military aid to Israel.
A proposed ban on TikTok would have an impact, apparently, on the economy. The social media site gives small businesses a unique avenue to reach consumers.
We do not have the big budgets, but you can be creative. A lot of those media that's published on TikTok are made with cell phones.
That's an owner of a pizzeria in San Antonio, Texas, saying TikTok has been effective, a big part of their marketing strategy. And despite the problems that's causing many families and children, she says without it, it's harder for small businesses to reach younger customers. Meanwhile, Mark Mayfield tells us it's not clear what the Senate will be doing with a bill that passed the House that could ban the outlet.
During an interview on CNN's State of the Union, South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds said the chamber will likely have to do something to address national security concerns with the social media platform. The Republican said he supports the direction of the House bill, but stopped short of saying whether he would vote for it in the Senate. The bill that passed the House last week would force Chinese company ByteDance to sell its stake in TikTok to an American company. Lawmakers say the current ownership structure gives the Chinese government access to American data.
The Department of Health and Human Services investigating a recent cyber attack against United Health Group. Last month, a subsidiary of United Health falling victim to a ransomware attack that disrupted billing operations for patients across the country. A survey finding more than 80% of hospitals say their cash flow was directly affected as well by the cyber attack. HHS announcing it's launching an investigation given the unprecedented magnitude of that attack. The volcano in Iceland is erupting for the fourth time since December. Iceland officials say the volcano erupting over the weekend south of Reykjavik, spewing bright orange lava into the night sky. Officials say the lava appears to be flowing south toward a coastal town there, which is once again being evacuated. Iceland police have declared a state of emergency, actually, for that area. And as a way to save on taxes, the Energy Efficient Home Improvement Tax Credit is part of Inflation Reduction Act. Tolf Sheldon with Cincinnati's Tax Resolution says it's worth up to $3,200.
We're talking about windows, doors, water heaters, things of that nature that are pre-qualified by the federal government to make your house more efficient.
So IRS Form 5695 is what he says you want to get for those deductions. There's also the Clean Vehicle Tax Credit, up to $7,500 for new electric vehicles. Vehicles will now work like an immediate discount when you buy an EV car, truck, or SUV. Instead of waiting until you file your taxes, the trade-off on that is that options to get that discount are more limited, and it has to be $80,000 for SUVs and pickups under $55,000 for electric cars. And finally, in our news segment at about 14 minutes past the hour on a Monday morning, March 18th, a judge ruling that Miami Beach's midnight curfew will remain in effect. Several nightclubs filed a complaint on Friday trying to overturn the efforts to crack down on those wild spring breaker parties. A judge denying the request to lift the curfew, saying it's unfortunate that businesses will miss out on some revenue, but city officials acted in good faith. The curfew began Friday and lasts through Monday through today. The city manager of Miami Beach says nighttime crowds have grown over the past few days, and even more partygoers flooded the city over the weekend, of course, for St. Patty's Day. It's a Monday morning, so appreciate your listenership here at Catholic Connection, a co-production, of course, of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. And as we mentioned earlier, don't forget all those resources, awesome resources, great programming. And just think, moving into Holy Week, how great will it be? And we'll have more on this with Doug Keck on Friday, to be able to tune in during Holy Week to see all these amazing events. And one of my favorites, and Doug and I will be, again, talking about this later in the week, is the Stations of the Cross from the Colosseum in Rome. There's just something about that, the candle lights, the Holy Father looking over everything, the scene from that portion of ancient Rome. It's phenomenal. And of course, so many other beautiful events going on, the Easter Vigil and Mass from St. Peter's and on and on and on, and many things before that as well. So check it all out, EWTN.com. And of course, our co-producer, Ave Maria Radio at AveMariaRadio.net. Looking forward to hearing the latest from the amazing Father Tad Boholcek with the National Catholic Bioethics Center. I got to meet a few people from there when I was speaking in Philadelphia a few weeks ago. But we're going to be talking about some big news stories in the Catholic response, starting with the story out of England that we discussed on Friday, if you recall, regarding puberty blockers and how these different countries who claim that they're even more, quote unquote, ahead of the times or progressive. And I don't even like to use that word because it makes it sound like those of us who don't buy what they buy are like backward or something. But bottom line is that they're putting a kibosh on puberty blockers. This is a huge story. So why are they doing this? we'll discuss with Father Ted coming up. And then a beautiful little book just in time, not only for St. Joseph's Day tomorrow, but also for Easter and Holy Week. And we will check out Joseph's workshop with the author. And that's coming up before we wrap up on a Monday, March 18th, with our very own Gail Buckley from Catholic Scripture Study International, and a beautiful verse for us to ponder that we give you every single week. More Catholic Connection coming your way on a Monday. Stay tuned.
EWTN Global Catholic Network is the largest religious media network in the world. 11 global TV channels, English and Spanish radio networks with over 500 AM and FM radio affiliates, one of the largest Catholic websites in the world, dozens of podcasts every week, social media, electronic and print news services, and EWTN Publishing. EWTN is the global Catholic network. For more about EWTN, visit EWTN.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Ave Maria Radio invites you to feast on the joy of fasting this Lenten season and all year long. Fast from hostility. Feast on peace. Fast from bitterness. Feast on forgiveness. Fast from self-concern. Feast on compassion for others. Fasting is a part of true Christian life. It liberates us from this world as we grow closer to Christ.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Minutes past the hour. Always great to catch up with Father Ted Boholcak. He's senior ethicist for the National Catholic Bioethics Center. But you know what? He has an extensively impressive resume. I don't have time to go through it all, but he's an expert in so many areas, especially when it comes to ethics and the Catholic Church and all the things that we're seeing right now that are so very alarming. But then on other fronts, we see some real positive news with some of these countries that were really pushing transgender ideology. And that's the first story we're going to discuss this morning with Father Ted, putting the brakes on some of these things. So, Father, first of all, thanks for joining us. Always great to have you on the program.
Well, thanks, Teresa. Glad to be with you. And I agree, these stories are amazing. It's wonderful to see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, potentially.
Yeah. So what's your reaction to England putting the kibosh, for right now at least, on these puberty blockers that they were giving so many young people?
Well, I think this is an important development. You know, the Tavistock Clinic over there was the big name in all of this, and they have suffered lawsuits that have come from detransitioners, individuals who went through kind of the system with them, received puberty blockers, maybe, you know, young girls, women who had double mastectomies, then they would sue. And nobody really thought these lawsuits were gonna be successful, but they were. And I think this has been a key force in reversing this type of medicine that really is very harmful to young people in so many instances. You know, the puberty blockers, it's an interesting characteristic of them. Whenever you read about them, you know, on the internet or you hear anybody who's advocating for puberty blockers, one of the big claims is that they're reversible. Oh, don't worry, it's no big deal. Well, it's really interesting if you talk to doctors about this, they will tell you that the typical treatment regimen using these puberty blockers, that the patients should be counseled about fertility preservation options. Now, isn't that interesting? Because you realize that, you know, as you use these puberty blockers, you're shutting down the production of sperm or egg. And this may have permanent consequences for the fertility of the patient.
The other thing they're finding, and I know that you know this all too well, and by the way, we're chatting with Father Tad Boholcek, senior ethicist for the National Catholic Bioethics Center today. We'll make sure we give you their website, too, because it's just got tons of really helpful information. Where they're not looking at the fact that many of these people, in terms of those who are being put on these drugs, are being put on them, Father, so quickly without all these agencies, whether it be Tavistock or these other so-called clinics. Now, we know that Tavistock has closed its doors, at least for right now. They're saying, oh, we're going to provide great care for these kids. We're going to come in. We're going to make sure we give them counseling to find out what's the real issue. Is it really gender dysphoria or is it something else? But you had these very liberal and pro-transgender whistleblowers who were saying, wait a minute, we're not doing what we promised to do for these kids. And they came out, and this is what really is shining the light on some of this.
Yes, that's absolutely right. I think the interesting piece here is that as all of this has developed, there has been a presumption in favor of moving ahead with puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones kind of right off the bat. And what has sort of fallen by the wayside is the acknowledgement that many times there are mental health concerns, mm-hmm. like anxiety, depression, autism spectrum disorder, you know, et cetera. And so that gets sort of brushed under the rug because people assume, well, we don't have to deal with any of that. As long as we go to surgeries and the use of hormones, then these people will be fine. But the reality and the follow-up indicates that that's clearly not the case with, you know, a relatively high degree of frequency. And I think the detransitioners are an important group. You know, and just one interesting sidelight on the detransitioners, those who have gone mm-hmm. through it and then regretted it, they are now trying to get what is called an ICD diagnosis code. These are like standard codes that are used in the medical field to identify patients, like so you can get, you know, reimbursement from insurance right. and other purposes. There is no ICD code available for detransitioners. And they're saying this is completely unjust what you're doing. You're making this a one-way street. People right. can go down to transition, but they can never transition back. And how fair is that?
So how much of this is money-based in terms of an agenda? There is the extreme agenda where they're pushing this gender ideology, but a lot of this has to be. I mean, I was always taught as someone in journalism school when I was in school to follow the money because you're creating lifelong patients, basically.
These treatments are very expensive. Once you get onto the cross-sex hormones, it is a lifetime commitment. You don't come off of those unless you detransition, but if you're staying with the program, you are a perpetual patient. Now, if you undergo the surgeries, these sometimes, and not with a low frequency, end up with urological types of complications. And these can involve multiple surgeries, sometimes dozens of surgeries. So you're going back into the system, trying to fix things that they weren't quite able to get right because you're trying to rearrange the genital anatomy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is clearly a recipe for perpetual treatments and for being a patient in the long term.
And spiritually, too, as a priest, Father, it's very sad, I'm sure, because you look at what the Holy Father just said again. He's spoken out quite frequently and strongly about gender ideology. He just spoke again about this on International Women's Day, which I don't understand why we need an International Women's Day if it doesn't matter to the culture if you're a woman or a man and you can identify as whomever or whatever you want. To me, that sounds it's really interesting that they even still have an International Women's Day given the push on transgender. But it hit me like a ton of bricks when I was reading his comments that not only are we attacking who we are, made in God's image, male and female, but the Holy Father was talking about the fact that our vocations are tied to our sex, to who we are, male or female. And so our vocations and potential influence in what God wants us to do in the world is also being attacked through this.
Yes, I think that's correct. And I mean, this has very real and practical ramifications. I've spoken with rectors at seminaries, and you know, I've given talks on the transgender issue, and afterwards they'll say, well, you know, do you think we need to do a genetic test on candidates for the priesthood? And I'll say to them, well, I'll be honest with you, I think this is something that probably will have to be part of the process for entering the seminary in the future. There have been one or two cases reported of women who entered the seminary posing as men. Fortunately, it was figured out, you know, ahead of ordination. But this does affect the vocation track very directly and raises a good deal of confusion also in people's minds. And, you know, vocations in terms of marriage, same problem. What if you have a priest who has two women who come to him, you know, wanting to get married, but he doesn't know that one of them is a woman? She presents as a man.
Wow. What happens when you go against what God gives us in terms of who we were made and why in his image? More with Father Ted. Behold, check some other stories that we're following. The whole controversy in Alabama that's been making national news regarding IVF. Why does the church teach what she teaches? We'll explain up next.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. St. Jose Maria Escriva says that we are called to light up the pathways of this earth by being sowers of peace and joy. This comes from being aware that we are sons and daughters of God. On the road of life, though, we find dangers, but God walks with us every step of our life, pouring out the gifts of His Holy Spirit upon us. Our Lady is our companion, like GPS in our car, connected to the cloud and bringing the latest updates to help us navigate our journey and get out of traffic on the way to the eternal kingdom. We don't want to get into family fights on our way to God's vacation destination, but we should be the sowers of peace and joy. We shouldn't accept substitutes, accept only the authentic identity of being His children, His sons and daughters. Let's grow in happiness and bring peace to those around us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
If I disciplined consistently, I'd be disciplining constantly. If I were consistent in my discipline, that would mean I would discipline more, and I'd be disciplining him often. The exact opposite is the case. More consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. Why? Because you're predictable. The child knows if he does A, you'll do B. That is why, when you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection on Monday. This program, again, co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. So blessed to have Father Ted Poholcek on with us. He's a PhD. He's a senior ethicist at the National Catholic Bioethics Center and a wonderful priest as well. So, Father, moving from transgender ideology to another big story that's making headlines, this is really important for Catholics to understand this because we know what's been happening in the state of Alabama, where, of course, our headquarters are located for EWTN in Irondale, but making big news regarding IVF. And even the governor, which was surprising because she was supposed to be such a pro-life governor, supporting IVF in a particular way with the law that she signed. But let's understand that a lot of people may, by no fault of their own, if they're Catholic, not understand why the church teaches what she teaches regarding IVF, or even you know that the church teaches this, correct?
Yes. I think this is a very widespread issue of misunderstanding or just not being informed. I mean, you know, let's be honest, Teresa, I think most people approach this from an emotional vantage point, and they'll say, well, gee, it's a beautiful thing to have kids. You know, we want people to have families and offspring. So shouldn't we support anything that enables people who are facing infertility to maybe end up with children? So it sounds on first hearing like something very generous, but there are really, I would say, two major moral problems when it comes to in vitro fertilization or making test tube babies. I call the first one would be the intrinsic problem, and the second one would be the kind of collateral damage problem. And maybe let's say the collateral damage problem first, because I think this is the one that most people have heard something about. And this just means that in order for you to have an IVF baby born, clinic workers may produce, let's say a dozen or 15 embryos. Then they'll screen those dozen or 15, transfer only a few of the quote-unquote best embryos, discard or freeze the leftovers, and then after they've implanted several of those, if they have a multiple pregnancy, they will encourage selective reduction so that the pregnancy isn't too complicated. So you can see all kinds of collateral damage there, you know, that's just all over the board. And not only that, but then if you have an IVF-produced baby that goes through that gauntlet and ends up being born, many of them have elevated rates of birth defects. This is just statistically well known, roughly double the rate of birth defects of a normally conceived baby. So this is another instance of collateral damage, and we can sort of ask ourselves, well, why is there such a high tolerance here for this in IVF clinics and among IVF customers? And I think, you know, what has happened is that we have had a prioritization of the desires of older and more wealthy people over the needs of the younger, the voiceless embryonic children. The children have become kind of pawns, and parental wants are always assumed, you know, to trump really the children's best interests. And so, you know, I would even say we're dealing here with a situation of grave human rights violations, which have been allowed to become, quote unquote, standards of infertility care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
also,
amazing,
Father,
how far this has gone.
Yeah, there's all these different stories, and you've been on the program talking about this. Remember a couple of years ago, I think it was there was a big case, I think it was either in Columbus or Cincinnati, somewhere in the Midwest. I can't recall the city, but this was just one of many stories where the family who brought up a girl that they conceived through IVF, and they thought that the baby was conceived through sperm of the father and obviously, you know, the mother's egg, and find out that it wasn't the father's daughter. It had been fathered by someone else. And there were all these different families that were impacted by this, not to mention stories about embryos being destroyed, whether purposely or accidentally. And there has been more than one story about the doctors playing around with this and trying to play God and using their own sperm to, you know, to have these different children all over the place. I mean, this is not just science fiction. This is reality in many cases.
It is. And it reminds us about the exclusivity that's written right into marriage. And as soon as you step out of that and move sexuality out of that reserved intimate arena and turn it into a transactional approach to creating children, then you're right. You can have all kinds of other participants, other sperm donors, other egg donors. And this, you know, we go about this and say, well, the only thing that matters is that parents get what they want. We have to say, no, that's not the only thing that matters. The thing that really matters is that we protect children here. And, you know, not knowing your own origins or having ambiguity around who donated what cells in order for you to come into existence, this is clearly something that raises all kinds of angst for individuals later when they discover this. And, you know, I've dealt with some individuals directly on this question, and it's the kind of thing that, you know, people tend not to acknowledge, but it really actually reaches quite deep into the psyche.
Yeah, and the failure of the media, which drives me crazy, to connect the dots. They cover these press conferences of these parents coming forward, filing suit against this clinic or that clinic because of what happened in the scenario that I just described. And yet, when these stories develop about legislation and IVF in general, there's no connection and discussion and thorough discussion, or as a sidebar story, as we say in the business, okay, here are some of the problems. Here's some of the fallout from this. It's never done.
I agree. It's unfortunate. And I think it's, you know, similar to the story that we just did, there's kind of a presumption that people who present as transgender should just be put onto the conveyor belt and people who present with infertility should just be put onto the IVF conveyor belt, and we just don't challenge, we don't raise questions too much. You know, if there's some lawsuits that come up, well, we'll sort of work around them as much as, but, the, you know, the fundamental issues and presumptions that are at work here, and the fundamental ethical errors that are allowed to continue are very disturbing. And I think it's, you know, well past time for all of us in society to, you know, go back to this and say, wow, how did we get here so quickly into these? You know, we have more than a million frozen embryos, and it's a terrible dilemma for couples later when they realize, gee, you know, we already did IVF, we have our kids, and now we've got 6 frozen embryos, or we've got 10 frozen embryos, and we're past childbearing age. What do we do? And, you know, we get that question quite a bit at the National Catholic Bioethics Center in Philadelphia, and it's an awful dilemma. There's no easy answer there. You know, people have backed themselves into a corner. So, you know, the Lord's counsel for us is always the best counsel, and we, at our own peril, step outside of that, you know, and often assume we know the best path forward when we really do not.
Nope. He is God and we are not, and the teachings are very clear and very powerful, and they're meant for our good, not for our harm. So check out the great work of the National Catholic Bioethics Center, which helps us understand these teachings more deeply and why they're so beautiful and important and really empowering when we say yes to God, as Pope Francis actually just said yesterday in his Angelus address. National Catholic Bioethics Center, you may find them online, ncbcenter.org, ncbcenter.org, for great information and resources. God bless you, Father Tad. If I don't speak with you, Buona Pasqua, have a great Easter, and thank you for all your work.
Okay, same to you. Thanks so much.
And we'll be right back. A beautiful new book about St. Joseph, just in time for St. Joseph's Day tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Do you know the origin of the rainbow? According to the Catholic Catechism, the first rainbow occurred after the flood when God established a covenant with Noah and his descendants. The rainbow was God's pictorial reminder to both God and man. God tells Noah in Genesis, "This is the sign I am giving for all ages to come of the covenant between me and you and every living creature with you. I set my bow in the clouds to serve as a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow appears in the clouds, I will recall the covenant I have made between me and you and all living beings, so that the waters will never again be a flood to destroy all mortal beings." Little wonder a vivid Valentine from our Creator so excites our eyes. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the Answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father." In fact, only 2 people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The 2 people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, "Don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach." Jesus' answer was, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart." Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
Thanks so much for tuning into Catholic Connection. Always great to introduce new books about our saints, including St. Joseph, because tomorrow is his feast day, as we know, in the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Faith. And Julie Wade has a new book that is actually going to be released by our friends at Sophia Institute Press on the feast day. It's entitled Joseph's Workshop. So, Julia, give us a little insight. Now, the illustrations are gorgeous. I have a copy of the book and looking at them, and oh, they're so pretty. And the hands, the details on the hands are amazing. Talk to us, first of all, about this idea of the book. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Yeah, the idea of the book actually came from my own children. So I'm a homeschooling mother of five, and I had a daughter first, and she loved all the books that I ever put in front of her, religious or secular. And just that love of reading was just so ingrained in our home. And then I started having a bout of sons. We have three sons in a row, and they very much love the Digger books and the police car books and the books with tools in them. And I'd be like, let's read this, you know, Anthony DiStefano book. And they'd be like, oh, this is good, but okay, let's go back to the Digger book, you know? So it was always so they would be interested in the holy books, but just one time through, right? And so it's like, well, why can't we just make a book that has cool tools in it and something religious so that we can combine the two so little hands would be really excited about it and want to, say, read it again. And so I thought, who better than St. Joseph? He must have used some pretty awesome tools. And that's what's featured in these beautiful illustrations by Matt Bartula. They are actual images of what a first century tool would have looked like St. Joseph. All hand-painted with oil on canvas, and you can really see that canvas coming through in the prints in the book. It's just gorgeous. So I love the fact that it's very masculine, not a hokey St. Joseph like a cartoony one, but really showing his fatherhood, his masculinity, his vocation. All of that really comes through in the images.
And so I would imagine, being that it's about St. Joseph, that the relationship with Christ is also that was an idea for you, too, in terms of Jesus working in the workshop with his father.
Yeah, so he actually doesn't work with him in this book. I tried to keep him as true to the text that we know of St. Joseph as possible. So Joseph doesn't speak in Scripture, except possibly, you know, we know he spoke Jesus' name at some point. Matthew 1:25 says that he was called to call him that. But I wanted it to be kind of a surprise, and I use that because of how I see my husband play with our children and using his own vocation and what he's good at and his talents to surprise and enamor them with his fatherhood that way. So throughout it, he's actually working solo, but then calls in Christ at the end to reveal the surprise toy he's made him.
Yeah, yeah. It's done really well. Talking with Julie Wade, the author of a brand new book from Sophia Institute Press, sophiainstitute.com. And it's all about Joseph's workshop. So, Julia, as a mom and someone who obviously you have to deal with the culture and sort through different sources for your kids, it's a challenge for all of us, whether we're great aunts and uncles, as Dominic and I are in my case, and if you work with kids, there's just constant challenges out there. I think it's super important that you have a book that talks about, that gives you the impression, as you mentioned earlier, of masculinity, because we are different. We're equal but different, male and female, made in God's image and likeness, but there are reasons that we are different, and they're all so beautiful.
Yes, and on top of that, I feel like there's a lot of men who are trying to lead holy lives that are not necessarily leading the life they thought they would lead. And I really see that in St. Joseph, that he thought he was going to be a nice little carpenter, have a wife, have some kids with Mary, and then all of a sudden he's thrust into this powerful position of having to raise God. So how did he do that? How did he embrace the vocation he didn't think he was going to have exactly? And I think about our culture with, oh, you can be anything you want to be, or you can be an astronaut, and you can be a lawyer and a doctor. And it's like, well, what if you're not those things? And what if it turns out that feeding your family means that you're something not what you prepared to be, but you are happy and you are joyful because of the life God's given you through your children and your wife? You know, and finding that joy in the unexpected. So kind of going on that theme, too, of you might not be where you thought you were going to be, but it's still where you should be.
Yeah, I just think it's super, super important. I mean, I was just talking with Father Tad Paholchek about the whole issue regarding this gender ideology, and it's just so much has been lost in the fact of who we are, made in God's image and likeness, male and female, and people don't understand the concept, and more Catholics need to understand that as well, because I sure didn't when I first came back to the church, the whole idea of male-female complementarity and how those gifts work together and how we see that beautifully in Joseph and in Mary, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, after having a daughter first and then having sons after, my husband and I joke all the time that there are not gender stereotypes for no reason. You know, I hand my daughter a truck. She did not roll that thing. And my son all of a sudden is making... truck noises. And I'm like, who taught him how to make a truck noise? Where did this come from? Why is the dinosaur growling? I had no idea
that
they would instinctively do this. So there is very much just innate reactions to certain things. So.
There isn't. Dr. Ray Grandi says you can give a little boy a piece of bread and he'll fold it into some sort of a, you know, of a toy or a tool or you know, a stick or something that he can play with. That's a very masculine thing. And it's important to understand that. So one of the things that you love to do is read to your children. How important is that?
It's very important. I was very nervous being a first-time mom of making sure that I read enough because I very much watched a lot of television growing up, and that was kind of how I escaped. And so I really wanted to make sure that my kids love learning and reading right away. And it's amazing. I mean, my three-year-old now can sit through an audiobook while we're driving through the car and request to hear it, you know, when we get back in the car, start it again. And he's understanding what's happening in something that's way too advanced for him just because he's so used to hearing it. So, you know, for parents that are discouraged, please just keep reading to them. Even if they're not reading themselves, they themselves will start to read more because you're reading to them.
Okay, I have a question as a great auntie. I know you listen to the show on a regular basis, but I'm very close to my grandnieces, Liliana, Francesca, and Danica. And Liliana and Francesca love to read, and they read to each other as identical twins, but they also read to me and Uncle Dami. And I think that's important, too, to have them read to you as well as you read to them. Am I correct in that? Because I know you're an educator. You taught in high school and you worked with kids for a long time. Is that a good thing to do too?
Yes. I mean, not only just to correct and make sure that they're saying the words correctly. You know, my daughter has read some things to me and then I just start laughing going, is that how you read the whole book with that phrasing? And she just start giggling. Yeah, isn't that how you say it? So it does help you be able to teach them that they're saying something incorrectly. But it can also just help their confidence in being able to read aloud and to speak in front of people. So it just has so many facets of learning and confidence building when you let your child read to you.
Do you think we read enough to our children and vice versa? And do you think there's enough reading going on? I mean, you mentioned TV, and I know that unfortunately a lot of kids, we have the numbers now that kids spend about 8 hours in front of the TV, well, at least with non-school type media in terms of entertainment. They're involved in media technology over 8 hours a day. And again, this is not related to their schoolwork. So as a teacher, what are you concerned about in the future with reading and books?
I feel like people are starting to think it's too hard. It takes up too much time. So I really encourage people who are, you know, they're not going to just sit down with their kids right away. But you know what you could do is listen to a podcast and just see how much they're engaged in it and get them kind of used to hearing without visual. And I think they would start to see that you could sit down with a book yourself and it would really help them. But start small, right? A 15-minute podcast. You do the Shining Light Doll Saint Stories, 5-10 minutes of a story about a saint. How engaged are they? And get them kind of used to hearing that aloud. And then eventually I think you would find that you could sit down. And it's training yourself too. I mean, sometimes you're really tired, especially if you're a working mother or working father, and it's 8 o'clock at night and you're supposed to be putting them to bed and you fall asleep 7 times trying to read a chapter book.
Yeah.
That's real life. But they'll wake you up and you'll finish. So just to not give up, but maybe start small with something like a podcast or an audiobook that you can even just get from your library, or you have, there's library apps now that you can download things and just stream it.
So the book, Joseph's Workshop, it's coming out officially tomorrow, right? I know you can order it online now, though, but it's officially being released on St. Joseph's Day, right?
Yes, and Sophia Press is having a sale today, 30% off if you order by the end of today. So that's another incentive to get it ready for your Easter basket.
There you go. I never met a sale I didn't like, let me tell you. Woohoo, sale, save some money. All right, my dear. Well, great job. Thank you for your work as an educator, as a mom, a homeschooler. Really appreciate it. And thank you for this gift of this brand new book from our friends at Sophia, sophiainstitute.com. And as Julia said, there's a sale on right now. So rush to the phones, rush to the computer, sophiainstitute.com. And the book is Joseph's Workshop. Thanks, Julia. You have a beautiful Easter, you and your family.
Thank you. You too, Teresa.
God bless. And we'll be right back with our scripture verse of the week. We're going to close, as we always do on Monday, with Gail Buckley. It is a Monday. You're listening to Catholic Connection. It's a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Find us both online, EWTN.com, and of course, AveMariaRadio.net. We'll be right back.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, "Why don't you air these people?" And I said, "No, because I don't think they're Catholic." He says, "By what right do you have to say that?" I said, "I own the network."
Mother Angelica Live Classics, every morning, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Wrapping up, as we always do on Mondays, with our scripture verse of the week. You can jot it down and you can remember it and ponder it as Our Lady did. We're told she pondered everything. So, Gail, what are we pondering this week? Good morning.
Good morning. This week we're doing Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 18, which says, "By their fruit you will know them. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." And, of course, these are the words of Jesus that he spoke during his Sermon on the Mount. And he was talking about Christians, his followers. He's saying that the kind of fruit we bear is how we act and the things we do. And it shows who we are and what we're like. And I think, you know, I think all of us know people who talk the talk and don't walk the walk. You know, for instance, someone who, you know, calls themselves a good Catholic but supports and even promotes abortion, that's showing bad fruit. So, unfortunately, you know, there's a battle within all of us. You know, we have a fallen nature, and so we have to work at it, you know, not to show bad fruit. And we all fail sometimes, but, of course, we can go and we can repent and go to confession and all. But when you don't do that, when you carry on a life of, you know, sin, and you don't confess, you don't repent, you know, that's a bad tree, as Jesus would say. And every day we have to work to conform our lives to Christ, you know, to show good fruit. But those who don't, you know, they're just, they need to repent. And we hope everybody will repent. So we repent, but we don't know. Anyway,
well, the thing is, we look at the readings today, which kind of tie into what you're talking about, because we see the adulterous woman and the first reading, and then the reflection was beautiful in the Magnificat from our saint for today, St. Cyril of Jerusalem, about the power of what happens when you honestly have a contrite heart and when you confess.
Exactly. And, you know, we in the chapter 5 of Galatians, it gives the fruits of the Spirit, you know, joy, peace, patience, et cetera. But, you know, and these would be exhibiting fruits, you know, how we should live our life. It's a goal that we don't always meet, but sometimes, you know, we'll bear bad fruits. But as St. Paul says, this shouldn't be, you know, as followers of Christ, we need to be Christ-like, and our goal is heaven. And so we need to live the kind of lives that lead to heaven. And so anyway, again, we're not perfect. We're going to fail, but we have confession, and we can do, you know, try, pick ourselves back up and keep trying. Yeah, but one thing that bothers me, Teresa, I've been hearing commercials recently on television where we're being told that we could be sure that we could go to heaven. All we have to do is pray a certain prayer. and it's that easy. Well, that's not true. You know, sanctification is an ongoing process. We not only have to believe in Jesus, but we need to strive to do his will, to follow his commandments, and to live a life that produces good fruit. So, you know, this once saved, always saved is really not a good thing for people to hear, because I heard a priest one time who was a chaplain in the Army. He said he overheard a guy say to another soldier, you know, you go to confession? Boy, man, I don't have to go to confession. I've been saved since I was 14. And the priest said it just hurt his heart to think this guy could do whatever he wanted to and that he was saved and, you know, it was a done deal, and that's not the case. So, you know, Jesus says we have to bear good fruit and, you know, just not just walk the walk. I mean, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. So I encourage those.
Yeah, because how do you know if someone believes if they don't have the fruit? I mean, Jesus wouldn't be saying that if it were that easy, right?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And, you know, St. Paul says, you know, I work out my salvation
through fear and trembling. I'm working out my salvation through fear and trembling. Right.
Exactly. A working, it's an ongoing process that we have to do. Yes. So maybe we make a list of the good fruits that are in Galatians 5 and try to strive to get those good fruits all the time. You know, I think sometimes, Teresa, people don't know what sin is anymore.
Right. And, well, you know, I think it's important, too, to understand that we're not saying you earn your salvation. But as St. James tells us, faith without works is dead. And as a verse today is if you believe,
right,
it's got to mean something. You have to show it with your life. Anybody can say that they believe in God. I mean, as Mother Angelica said, even the devil said that, right?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, good advice, Gail. Thank you so much. Great to talk to you, and always great resources with Catholic Scripture Study International. And every week, Gail joins us for our Scripture Verse of the Week. We'll talk to you tomorrow, God willing. And domani, ciao, ciao, for a St. Joseph's Day show. Talk to you then. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.